Good morning. All right, people out front, let's move it. Let's go. We got things to do here. We're going to have church. David Gamble's here this morning. Woo! Glad to see you. I got some important things to say, so I'm going to wait till everybody makes their way in. Let's go, folks. Cutting into my lunchtime. Well, good morning, everybody. I hope everybody had a good Christmas. Ready for a new year. This is our last service of 2015, so make this one good, all right? If you've been waiting on something for 2015, this is the day, okay? As we move into 2016, what I wanted to do, just open it up this morning, is just remind all of us, myself included here, how we're in control of our thoughts and what happens to us. I was sharing with Will and Pastor Keith how Christmas Eve, everybody knows how warm it was, and our air conditioning went out on Christmas Eve, and we had a house full of people. But don't feel sorry for me. I did that for a little while, okay? And I shared with Will that I had to go back and look in the mirror and ask to speak to Coach Joey for just a second and let Coach Joey talk to me a minute, you know? And then I started thinking about how, and I shared with Kitty the next day how, you know, we had the money to pay the guy to repair it. We had a phone number and knew who to call. We had a roof over our head. We had all our family there. There was no reason to be down. But see how quickly when things happen, you can let stuff take you down. But it's all up to us. We get to decide each day how we approach it and what we look for and what we see. So as we end this year in 2015 this morning, Will's going to bring a good word to us. I'll tell you, I'm so excited about this series that's being started, kicking off this new year. Just keep in mind that we're in control of everything we think about. We're in control of our whole day, every part about it. Look for the good. Have great expectations for 2016, and let's get it started early today, okay? Let's worship.
Over me, Against us. Thank you, Lord, that your love chases us as waves come in and waves come in and they continue and they never cease. Lord, so is your love for us in waves and waves and waves, Lord, and we just rest in your love today. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. You are so holy and so worthy, God. And we have you here in us and with us today and every day, God. We don't have to wait to get to heaven to experience you. And your power and your love and your grace and your glory, God, you are our hope. We praise you for that today, Jesus. Thank you.
Oh,
our prayer today. We want to know your heart. Lord, as you draw near, Jesus, we want to know your heart so that we can be you and radiate you, and it's not until we acknowledge that power within us, Jesus. Thank you for your presence here today. God, we welcome you to just flow all over this place, in us and through us, around us to other people. God, we love you so much. Thank you for your heart. Thank you for your love. We praise you today. You have all of our worship. We love you so much.
In your bulletin, if you got it, there was a connection card. On the back of it, it no longer has anything about t-shirts. But if you were here last week, you knew what that meant. But if you did not receive an Eagles Way t-shirt, your Being t-shirt, there are some available. Those at the Continental Breakfast area or the Coffee and Donut area. And you can get one of those after service. But we do want you to fill that out, both visitors, if you're visiting for the very first time, thank you for being here, and members, to fill this out, and you can communicate with us. We're actually going to be making some few changes to that coming up in the new year, so we will let you see those. And if you're visiting for the first time, this is a free gift to you, so it is available as you're walking out, and mine has water in it. Yours will have a little note to you from Pastor Buren, so you can enjoy that. Pastor Buren is not here with us today, obviously. You have me instead. But he is in Lafayette, Georgia. And he will be, actually this is Delbert Young, which Delbert, for those that don't know, is at, I think the church's name is still Lifegate Church. Does anybody remember? I think it is. It's still Lifegate Church. But anyway, Delbert came out of New Life Church, which is now Eagles Way Church, and if you're visiting, I've totally confused you. But anyway, this is his last Sunday. He is retiring. They are moving to Panama City, and so as a surprise, they've asked for Pastor Buren and Barbara to come up and be a part of that, and so our prayers are with him as he's speaking this morning and talking with them. And so a few other important things I want to take time to mention, and that is January 8th, which is a Friday night, we have an opportunity for you to enjoy life with your fellow Eagles Way and anybody you want to invite, as long as you buy a $15 ticket to the return concert. So the return concert, for those of you who are not aware, if you're an Eagles Way person, you should be aware, is a Beatles tribute band. Michael Fulop and Adam is here sometimes, and actually several of them are here at different times. But they just got back from their Japan tour, and I think they said like 30 different concerts? 30 days, 17 shows, and they got to see all of Japan. It's pretty cool. And they paid them to go visit. That's really cool. I got to figure out how to make that happen. Another thing I want to let you know is that because of your faithfulness, because of your giving, the 200 children that we sponsored through the Angel Tree, the prison ministry Angel Tree, were all served. In the Southeast, all of them were served, and that number was 347,302 children that received a gift. That's pretty cool. That's awesome, yes. But what I love about the prison ministry Angel Tree is it crosses all borders. And that child received a gift of love because of you from a parent that couldn't give it to him at that point in time. They were incarcerated. But they made a request, and you helped to fulfill that request. And so I think that's very cool. Last one, little announcement I want to make is water baptism is going to be on January 24th. This month, and we have a couple already planning on that. And if you have never been water baptized, or you have heard this now for the first time, you're going, what is water baptism? On the first Wednesday in January, we'd be happy to sit down and talk with you about that, explain that to you, So all you have to do is on the back of your connection card, check, I'm interested in more information on water baptism, and we will get that to you and make sure that you have an understanding of that. So let's open with a word of prayer. Father, Lord, I just love you. Lord, I thank you for this day, the opportunity I have, Lord, to communicate, Lord, your word. I pray, Father, Lord, your wisdom and direction. I pray, Father, Lord, that you'll just be with us, Father, Lord. Speak to us in Jesus' name. 2015, back a year ago, we declared as being the year of launching. And some of you bought into that and were thinking about that and were praying about what God was going to do in your own life and what he wanted to launch, what he wanted something new to transpire and take place. Did anybody launch something new? You don't have to tell me what it is. I just want to see a hand. If there was something new that launched in your life this year, I see those hands. Awesome. Very cool. I know for me, there was a launching that took place. And this journey that we are on, we've been on for many years. When the name change took place from New Life Church to Eagles Way Church, we took on a slogan called the Positive Perspective. Now, our perspective, hopefully, and as Christians, should have always been positive, okay? But sometimes it isn't. Sometimes we don't have a tendency to think that way or to look that way. So before the change of the millennium, year 2000, the name of the church was changed, and we took on the slogan, a positive perspective, and began to look at things differently, and looking at it from God's point of view, from the eagle that flies high and gets above the storm, gets above those things. And in the last 2 years, 3 years, the power of positive thinking, or the school of positive thinking, and the importance of how what goes into our brains, our thoughts, how you dwell on that and that thought becomes energy, hasn't been a new thing, but it's launched differently now inside of us because we're beginning to walk it from a different perspective, a different view. So everything will continue to pass through our positive thinking, and in 2016, we are going to be learning how to be in Christ. Learning how to be in Christ. Well, what does that mean? Well, for different people, it's going to mean different things. But this being really has to do with your attitude and your motivation. Some people are doers. Okay? And it's easy for them to do. But sometimes the reason why they're doing may not be the most beneficial. It may be doing to seek approval. It may be doing to get somebody's attention. It may be doing to exalt yourself. So being in Christ, even though we don't want to de-emphasize you doing, because we still need to serve, we still need to give, we still need to do those things, but it is the attitude and the motivation behind the reason why you're doing. So if you can learn to be in Christ, then the doing will come out of that. When I do premarital counseling, I'll talk a little bit about the importance of you wanting to serve or to give out of an attitude of devotion versus an attitude of duty. How many guys here have done some things in your marriage out of duty? Every hand should be in the air. Come on now. Okay. It happens. There are some things that we've used the terminology, I got to get my kitchen pass, or I didn't get my kitchen pass, Okay? That's always kind of taken for a negative thing. But there are some times that you need to make decisions to not do some things because you have a devotion or a duty to your marriage or to your family or to your children or whatever those reasons are. And it becomes a drudgery if it's a duty and not a devotion. And so in our being in Christ, there is a love, there is a passion, there is a desire for Him that becomes exalted and becomes the attitude and becomes the motivation. And when that is there, guess what I want to do? I want to serve. I want to do some things. I want to get involved in Rushton Hope on the third Saturday. I want to give alms this morning, which helps pay for Rushton Hope on the third Saturday. Over 300 people are fed. So whatever your aspect of giving is, or serving is, for some people they need to jump in and hands-on. For some people, God has provided a means by which to be able to give financially. For some people, it may be being a support system or doing things maybe not on the day of, but the day before or the day after. So there's lots of ways that you can do that aspect of it, but all of that needs to be channeled and funneled through being in Christ. Proverbs chapter 12, verses 1 through 2 says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." Now, this week is probably the biggest week there is of thinking about what you're going to do differently. How am I going to change in my spending habits? How am I going to change in my eating habits after I ate all the barbecue I could possibly eat last night? How am I going to change in some of my reactions to situations? How am I going to do things differently? How am I going to change the way I think so that I can be who God has called me to be? So what we're going to talk about for the next few moments is just a tool. It's a tool that I'm going to give you. How many guys like tools, or how many ladies like tools? Okay, you like tools? Okay. I know that Jennifer, when she was baking and doing different things, she was using a hand mixer, and she could get the job done, but it would take quite a while until one day her dad came through and gave her the big Mac Daddy KitchenAid mixer, 6 quarts. And she, what took her an hour to do one pan, she then could do 5 pans in 30 minutes. It's pretty serious. Okay? So tools, you can accomplish, you know, I have done this before. I've not had a hammer, and I needed to put a nail in the wall, and I took a rock or a brick, and I've knocked the hammer or the nail into the wall. Now, that isn't the most efficient way, but I did get the job done. Much easier to hit your knuckle, your thumb, whatever the case may be, but you can do it. But anybody ever seen those nail guns that hooks up to the compressor? It's got this long hose. And you just walk up and you go, and it's precise. It's exactly where you pointed it. It took no effort other than just lifting the little handle up there. And it accomplished so much more. See, your life is full of tools. You have tools. The Word of God is a tool. Prayer is a tool. Speaking positively is a tool. You have these tools. It's whether or not we decide we're going to use these tools in the time when it's ready to be used. Can you find it? I mean, you ever looked for the hammer, looked for the screwdriver? Has anybody ever used a knife to take a screw out of a screw, undo a screw? It can be done, but my goodness, it takes forever. And I go and I grab my little cordless drill, and I go up there and I go, zip, that's done. I have to credit to being here today to my wife. She saved our lives. She saved our lives. The other day, we had this odor in the house. And a real fishy smell. And it wasn't close to the trash can. It wasn't close to the kitchen. And it smelled like dead fish. And it was just horrible. And we tried to figure it out. We couldn't figure it out. And so we unplugged some things. And we determined it's got to be under the house. All this rain, and I have a low area. And so I was going to have to crawl on my belly in the wet and the mud. And I was real excited about having to go do that. And so she decides to do what a lot of us now do, is to get on the Google. So she Googled fish smell in your house. And you won't believe what you find when you Google that. But the overwhelming thing that she found was is that people had spent hundreds of dollars on exterminators and didn't find anything, but more than likely, it is something electrical. So I'm taking all this information in, and I'm not one to react real quickly to do, you know, I'm wanting to gather the processes of elimination of what it can be. And so we smelt the smell the most when the garland was lit up over the doorway in this outlet, and we plugged the vacuum cleaner into it. Well, we had already sniffed the vacuum cleaner. It wasn't in the vacuum cleaner. I know you thought that's where it was. It wasn't in the vacuum cleaner. And the odor would be there. So I said, well, let's just replace this outlet. So the next day I had an outlet, and I took it out and turned the power off and replaced the outlet and put it back in there and plugged stuff back in. No smell. I said, okay, Luke, I'm leaving. I'll be back. He's going to be there. I said, just smell. A couple hours later, no smell. Ah, it had to have been that outlet. Jennifer comes walking in about 45 minutes later, and guess what? The smell is back. She smells it at first thing, and I go, oh, man. Maybe it is an exterminator. Maybe it is this. So she just, I don't know why, but she went down to another outlet that was a little farther down, and she felt it, and it was fire hot, and the wall was hot. And I said, you know what? I think that might be it. So we shut the breaker off, pulled it out. There was a little wire that was beginning to melt just a little bit. The odor was the burning of that little bit of cable, which it was a conductor. And so, in other words, it had four wires hooked up to it. So electricity was always running through that circuit because it went on to other circuits. And so at whatever point in time, that outlet could have just burst into flames, which would have been right next to her closet. So the first thing that would have burned would have been her closet. So I don't know if it was a my life or her closet that she was trying to really save. But the idea of her... But Luke and I are both very glad that we didn't wake up in the middle of flames one evening because of that. But the tools that I used to get that, and I shared that story is because as guy of the house, man of the house, you know, I want to be the one that solves these problems. But I have to be able to be who God has called me to be and allow Jennifer to be who God has called her to be and allow us to complement one another in our home. And this tool I want to teach you is a tool that you can only use on yourself. I can't use this tool on Jennifer because she has to be willing and has to use the tool if she wants to. So for your own life, as I give you this tool, I don't want you thinking about who needs to hear this. I want you to know that it's you that needs to hear this. And what I'm going to be teaching you is some simple, basic things that if you go to counseling, you're going to get. So I'm going to teach you some basic things that in a counseling room you would learn so that you can then begin to apply. How do we change the way we think? I mean, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 says that we need to change the way we think. How do you go about doing that? See, every one of you in every different area of your life have a belief system. It's the way that you believe about something. It's the way that you think something works or something happens. And you formed these belief systems at young ages. Some of them in some particular areas may have been formed later, but for the most part, you formed a lot of these belief systems at a very young age. And so when a situation happens or an event happens or something takes place, it passes through your belief system. Okay? Now that can be good and that can be bad, depending upon whether or not your belief system is set up according to God's word. So when you have the situation happens, it passes through your belief system, it causes you to have a thought. Your thoughts come once it goes through the belief system. It causes you to think about something. When you're driving down the road, you see a billboard about whatever. It causes you to just have a thought. Could be a happy thought, but it's a thought. And that thought is your perspective on the situation that's happening. Okay? Your perspective. Now, have you ever been in a conversation with somebody and you saw what happened and they saw what happened and then they're retelling it to somebody else and it is nothing like what really happened? Ever happened to you? Okay? The fact of the matter is that happened because it was they saw that thought channeled through their belief system, caused them to have a thought, and that is their reality. They believe that to be true, even though you may not believe that to be true, because you channeled it through your belief system, and it's a little bit different. And so that thought causes you to have emotions and feelings. Now, first of all, before I go on to the emotions and feelings, I want you to know that when you have a thought, that thought is not sin. It's just a thought. At that moment, it comes into your head, and some of you have ever gone, man, why did I think that? Where did that come from? Well, maybe it came from something you had seen before or heard before that was planted deep inside the subconscious. Maybe it came through a faulty belief system. Maybe it came through a good belief system. But that emotion and that feeling that is created because of those thoughts. Remember, if we've been taught that thoughts, if we dwell on them, they're energy. Okay, so it creates this feeling, this emotion. We have happy feelings. We have happy emotions. We like those. We have sad thoughts that cause sad emotions. A thought can cause anger, mad. I want you to hear this morning, the feelings, the emotions are not sin. They are just the results of the thoughts that you are having. When you have these thoughts, it leads to these emotions and these feelings, which then leads to your what? Your actions. Okay, leads to your actions, causes you to slam the door, causes you to raise your voice, causes you to cry your eyes out, causes you to be so excited and thrilled you can't stand it. This is where sin can come in. with your actions. So, if you have something going on and you want change in your life, do you go back and try to change your actions? Well, do you go back and just try to change? Don't feel this way. Don't be angry. Don't be mad. You're going to be very frustrated. Don't think this thought. I just can't think this way. I've got to think this way. That's going to be very difficult because you have a belief system that isn't lined up with God's word. So if you want to think positively, you're going to have a belief system that is set up that is positive according to God's word. So if you're continuing to deal with an area, to deal with an issue, and you can't seem to figure out why, there may be a faulty belief system that you need to deal with. How do you deal with a faulty belief system? This is what I have learned, that you will go in to that particular area, and it's very best if you can identify where that first time happened in your life that transpired, because that is probably where you formed that belief system. And you apply the forgiveness, the blood of God, Jesus, to that area. Well, that sounds great and wonderful. How do you do that? Let me give you an example in my own life that happened. I was 11 years old. And there was a particular thing that I wanted, and at this moment, my mom might remember what it was that I wanted. But they weren't buying it for me. I had to save my money and buy it myself. It's a good thing to teach your kids. It's a great thing. And so I was saving. It was at Hornsby's. Hornsby's is probably, I don't know exactly because it's been so long, but equivalent to a Rose's. And it was, let's just use the figure, $14.99 for this item that I was saving for. And I was saving. And I was doing some chores. And this was a few years ago, so it wasn't easy to give somebody, you didn't give somebody $5 for doing whatever. It was a quarter for doing whatever. So $14.99 took a little while to get to that point. But I worked hard and I worked hard and I was excited and I saved, and I don't know exactly how long it took me, but I got $14.99 in my piggy bank. And I told Mom, I got all the money. Let's go to the store. She had thought through entirely. She might would have caught this little thing, but she didn't. She said, let's go. So I grabbed the item. I got up to the counter. It was $14.99. I put my $14.99 on the counter. And I said, I want to buy this. And I haven't done the math. So she said, this will be $15, whatever the tax was. And I was devastated. I couldn't believe it. It says $14.99, and I have $14.99. And what I did, not externally, but internally, is I made a statement. I made a statement about money. And that statement that I made was, is I will never have enough money. And that followed me for years. The belief system was, is I'm not ever going to have enough money. Now, that was a lie. God's word says that he's going to be our provider, and he's going to take care of us. And so that belief system that I had formed didn't line up with God's word. But it was still a belief system of mine, and I took it into several different situations. And I didn't speak or think positively about those when I got into those situations because my belief system was wrong. And I realized at a certain point that that was the case. And I was like, what do? I don't want to keep thinking this way. I don't want to keep going against God. God says he's going to be my provider. I'm going to have all of my needs met. He wants to give me the desires of my heart. But my believing, my thinking, my system had to be changed. And so I went in and I realized that what had transpired, and I went to God and I asked him to forgive me for believing a lie that was contrary to his word. And I applied the blood of Christ. And since that time, not instantaneous, has everything just been okay, but in my dealings with money, it's beginning to tend upward. It's beginning to change. Jennifer and I got on a journey about 4 or 5 years ago to get out of debt. And it wasn't the easiest thing we did. It was painful at times. We stopped using credit cards. And started, now I'm not saying you can't use a credit card. I'm just saying for us right then, we now have one. We just pay it off each month. But that debt is beginning to go down, and Lord God willing, we're able to be out at this end of this year, be out of debt except for our house. And I mean, the freeing aspect that can come from that. But I had to go back in. And where I had, think about it, I had made a vow. I will never have enough money. That's not good. When you get in situations and you begin having thoughts and feelings that are causing actions that you don't like, you have the option to change. But it's not easy. You have to identify some areas. You have to identify some things. You have to apply. See, I'd asked Jesus into my heart a long time ago, and it had absolutely nothing to do with my salvation and going to be with Christ when I die. But it had everything to do about the quality of life that I was living here because I had believed a lie. Parents don't do it intentionally, but sometimes they lead you in directions that is believing a lie. Because that's the way they believe. That is the way they think. So whatever is going on in your world, if you want to make that change, you have that option. Because it's not the thought that is bad. It's not the emotions or feelings that are coming. Do you know now the emotions and feelings I used to get about money is different than the emotions and feelings I'm getting now? And I'm getting excited to see the debt going down when I was at that point that I felt like I was going to be swallowed up. I am very excited about what God is doing here at Eagles Way and in the lives of so many people, and that being in Christ, this is the theme, or the Pastor Buren has used the word paradigm shift, and the reason for that is it's not something that we're going to go away from. Thinking positively is a tool that is used for you to be who you're supposed to be in Christ. Because I guarantee you, if every person in this room, if every person that is associated with Eagles Way will be who God has called them to be in Christ, we will affect change in this entire community. It will be broadcasted not just in Griffin, Georgia, but it'll be in Pike County and Butts County, and it'll seep to other places of the world that we come in contact with. Japan would be different because we had young men that were there being in Christ, because it affects who you are and what emanates from you, and your doing then becomes the right attitude. Your doing then becomes the right motivation. So I encourage you. It's a journey. It's a process. But we're going to be in Christ. As we're being. See, I was talking with Ralph just a little bit and talking about being Christ and talking about that, the ing. And Pastor Buren talked about this just a little bit. It's a continuous state. ing. If you're going to be in Christ, it's not something that all of a sudden you achieve. It's something that you have to continue doing. That's just why it has the little parentheses around the B. We have to be in Christ, but it is a process of continuing. How many have wore their shirt out in public? Anybody asked you, what does that mean? Jennifer got caught off. She didn't even realize she was wearing the shirt, got caught off the other guard the other day. And you are going to have to come up with, what are you going to say? And I loved her answer, because it was simple, and the lady was just, she was sincere. She said, you need to be love. You need to be life. You need to be light to people. Girl goes, wow, I like that. Where's your church? We just moved here a couple of months ago. She was able to say, down in Griffin. Opportunities are going to come your way. But the tool that you need this morning is, there's going to be things that are going to come up in your life. A situation is going to happen and you're not going to like the feelings, the thoughts, the emotions that come your way. And you want to know, how am I going to change that? Apply the blood of Christ. You'll stand. I just want to open this altar up real quick to someone that has, while I was talking, you identified with a situation that you know you have a faulty belief system in, and you'd like prayer. I'd just like for you to come and stand across the front, and we're going to pray. If that's you, come. This is my prayer for you this morning. My prayer is that God is going to be able to take you back to that moment when that faulty belief system started. For me, it was in Hornsby's department store. And I was able to go back and see myself standing at that counter. And I just said, God, will you please forgive me for believing that lie that was contrary to your word? And allow me to believe. See, we talk about replacement thinking too, right? When you apply the blood of Christ there, then you apply what his principle says. That's truth. His truth is that he's going to be your provider, and that he's going to take care of you. Maybe it's abandonment that you have felt. The truth is, He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Whatever it may be. And as you begin applying that blood of Christ, that belief system is going to change. And now, got to remember, we're creatures of habit, right? We kind of begin. My next part of my prayer is that He's going to give you that split-second ability to be able to know, whoa, that's the wrong thought. I don't believe that way anymore. And change that thought. Because when you change that thought, it's going to change that emotion or that feeling, which is going to change the action, which is going to change your life. Father, Lord, I thank You for those that are standing here and everybody in this room, Father, Lord. That, Lord, we've had areas in our life and have areas, Father, Lord, where we've got a faulty belief system. I pray, Father, Lord, that You'll show us, take us back to where that started and allow us to apply the blood of Christ. And that, Lord, You will change our lives forever because of that. I pray, Father, Lord, that You'll give them the ability, Father, to have that moment to be able to say, no, that's the wrong thought, and put in the right thought, which allows that cycle, that change, to be also different. I thank You for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank You for coming down. As our ushers are, you may be seated. We'll be receiving our morning's tithes and offerings and alms. This morning is the last Sunday of the month, and on the last Sunday of the month, we have a special alms offering. These alms offerings, you can give throughout the month. You don't have to wait until the last one, but we just emphasize it here. But with Rush and Hope, we feed. We're responsible for feeding one Saturday a month. So we have, most of the time we do all of the meal. Sometimes it's just a portion of the meal. But feeding 300 people isn't cheap. Have you ever fed your family? Imagine feeding 300. So the funds that come in, they go to that. They go, we support the soup kitchen here in town, which gives a free meal once a day, Monday through Friday. We support, I say we, when you give, you are supporting Spalding Samaritans, which is emergency utility relief here in town. And we support the Five Loaves, Two Fish food pantry. We don't have a food pantry here, but we support one because they're able to provide a bag of groceries for $5 that same bag would cost us $25. So might as well let somebody else do it that does a better job at it. One Harvest Food Ministry. It's a way, a small price. We have several people here that give away a box of food every month. They just purchase it, and it's given away to somebody in need. So there's ways. That's what these funds here are used for. So as I'm going to pray, and we're going to bless this offering and bless Pastor Buren. I think he's just getting going right now. And then the band is going to do our last song, and if you want to come and give at the alms box, you can do that. Father, Lord, we thank You, Lord, that we can come to Your house. Lord, that we can worship You, we can receive from You. That, Lord, we can bring our first fruits, our tithes, our offerings, our alms. We can bring our gifts and our talents, Father, Lord. I pray, Father, Lord, You bless Pastor Buren, Lord, as he ministers this morning in Lafayette. I ask, Father, Lord, that it be a sweet time. Thank You, Father, for Your goodness. In Jesus' name we pray.